gonna see some serious shit.
Stand by, Filchy. Stand by, Jamie Williams. Stand by, Queen Christina. Is Christina even coming back this year?
Oh, she's back. And she's baying for blood.
Fast, Jamie! You kick fell for that! Kiss me there! Jamie, touch me! He touched me, man! Are you ready for pain? Are you ready for suffering? If the answer is yes, then you're ready for the Summer 2012 Predictions Power Hour!
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show you've all been waiting for. It's the Summer 2012 Prediction Power Hour. I say Prediction Power Hour, but let's face it, we're talking more 2 or 3 hours, given that how packed the summer this is going to be, how interesting a summer this is going to be. We've skipped very few movies this year. We're going to talk about pretty much everything you want to know about. We've skipped a few things like Neighbourhood Watch and little things like that, but I don't think you're going to get too torn up about that. For those of you who didn't join us last year, we'd just like you to fill you in on the backstory a little bit. The year is 2012, and last year, myself, Jamie and Christina did this. Last year, Jamie won. This year, Christina is out for revenge. That's all you need to know, basically. But this year, we also have a little bit of extra special professional help. It's my great pleasure to introduce a writer for boxoffice.com, Mr. Sean Robbins. Hello, sir.
Hello, thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, it's absolutely a pleasure to have you here. I explained to Sean what we're going to do tonight is actually we're going to basically make our boneheaded predictions as we usually do, and then Sean's going to come in for the kill with that wise and sage knowledge that we were so sorely lacking last year. And I wonder if that's going to change things in any way, we'll see. But, as you know, my name's Phil G, the guy who thought Pirates 4 would do 100 million domestic flat. That's what you're dealing with here tonight. Joining us, as usual, baying for our blood, it's Queen Christina.
I'm coming back for the Iron Throne. I want what is mine. I want that crown.
And joining us finally is not only winner of last year, but birthday boy. And the present apparently he's getting from Christina is a harsh defeat tonight, and that's all he's getting. It's Jamie Williams.
Hi, kids. How are you?
Let's just get straight to the chase. May 4th opens with The Avengers. Obviously, the film has a lot in its favour. It's a superhero movie that we can honestly say hasn't been made before. It's a movie that people are waiting for. It's getting pushed hard. It has the first week of May to itself, with nothing but the best, most exotic Marigold Hotel to stand against it. But if you track the path of the Marvel movies, we are noticing the law of diminishing returns taking effect. The first Iron Man did 318 domestically, the sequel did 312, amazingly. But Thor and Captain America, they couldn't hit 200 last year. And honestly, I think there is two reasons for that. Firstly, I do think people consider Thor and Cap sequels to Iron Man, and it is all part of one film series, because Marvel has done so much shoehorning with the Avengers stuff that they've never let us forget it. And Iron Man 2 put the screws in people. They were disappointed. Secondly, I honestly think people do expect something these days with substance, something that is going to stay with them. Now, they'll keep going back for more with a Christopher Nolan Batman movie, because it's like a 3-course meal. Well, heck, it's like a 7-course meal. There's so much there to enjoy, too much almost to take in one sitting, so they'll go back again to really savour the flavour a second time. The Marvel Studios movies, to me, they're like takeout at McDonald's. They're brief, they're hollow. Even though I've enjoyed those movies in the past, I'll admit they haven't achieved their full potential. You know, they haven't been as satisfying as they could have been, and they haven't told the full story of those characters, because it's all been about rushing to this movie, to this finishing line. And now we get to find out, free of that constraint, whether they're going to give us a fully satisfying 3-course meal, or whether the Avengers itself is just going to be set up again for more sequels and spin-offs after the fact. And all signs point to the latter, to be honest with you. But I'm gonna say it's gonna be good. I think it will be light, and I think people will see it again. And considering it doesn't have much competition in May for the kind of film it is, I'm going to say 120 million opening weekend. We're not predicting opening weekends here, folks, but I'll say it'll hit 120 million opening weekend. And it's going to be 310, final domestic tally, 310.
I really struggled with my final number for this film, because like you were saying, Iron Man hit 300, Iron Man 2 did over 300, but Thor and Cap did not even hit 200. I think that people are going to go see this movie just for the sheer novelty of seeing everybody team up. I think that the 3D bump is going to help, the IMAX bump is going to help, the release date is certainly going to help. And I think that the studio's mindset is that anything less than 300 is going to be a disappointment. And with everything that they have put into this film, with all of the little Easter eggs that they've dropped into all of the other films, there's no way that they're going to pull this film from the theater before it hits 300. I think that they are going to limp this thing across the finish line. But I think that it's going to get there. So I'm going to say even solid flat $300 million.
You know, we had Matt Patches on a couple of weeks ago reacting to the first full-fledged trailer. And, you know, he's more in amidst with the – great guy, by the way. If you haven't talked to him, you should. And, you know, amidst in the seeing the fanboy reactions and people really losing their shit and nerdgasming to the reactions. And I agree with everything that's been said here. I completely agree it's a $100 million opening weekend. I'm going to go a little bit higher. I just think it's going to get a little bit of that bump. 3D, it does get, you know, everyone says, oh, it'll get a 3D bump. But how much is the 3D bump, really? Let's be honest here. It doesn't, a 3D movie is not going to make like a $50 million difference having 3D tickets. It's not. I don't know why people keep saying it will. I'm going to say, I keep going back and forth. I actually think it's going to be mid-300s. But, you know, when I see the predictions saying 380 to 4, it's like you're losing your fucking mind. Because as both of you have said, you know, they haven't increased. They've decreased in numbers. They're pretty much playing to the fan base at this. I'm going to say 340.
I have to agree. I think, and when I say agree, Phil and Christina, you guys mentioned the huge difference between Iron Man and Thor and Cap, and I really, what it comes down to, in my opinion, is Robert Downey Jr. I think he offered Iron Man what those other movies didn't, and that's a star. And, I mean, they're smart in marketing the Avengers with him at the forefront. My only concern is he's not supposed to be the main character, as far as from what I've gathered. If there's any downside to the movie, it could be that people, like non-comic book fans, expecting something, expecting Iron Man 3, essentially, which is kind of what it looks like in some ways. And that's its only downside for me. If the movie can deliver, I really think it's going to blow a lot of people away. I mean, right now I'm thinking it opens to at least 140, and that's at least. Granted, now Iron Man 2, I think it did, 125, something in that range?
Yeah.
And that was without 3D prices 2 years ago. And I really think Avengers, despite the fact that Iron Man 2 disappointed a lot of people, Captain and Thor at least had decent word of mouth. You know, maybe not the greatest ever, but overall, I don't think it can really fail if it's a good movie, because May is just empty. There's just not a lot coming out in May. After Avengers, you know, there's a few big movies, but I don't think there's anything to take people's interests away from it. So, I mean, honestly, I can't see it missing 350 right now. It's just, I think it's going to do Transformers numbers. Now, I could be way off on that, but there's just something, and it's almost a gut feeling, but I think they've been building up to this for so long, and I think the awareness is out there, and just the sheer curiosity of putting these characters together is going to bring in a lot of those people that didn't show up for Thor and Captain and Hulk.
And we can all agree that this is going to have a $100 million opening weekend. We can all agree. But the other thing is we can all agree is that it's going to open lower than The Hunger Games. It's going to make less than The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Because it does seem like it's only appealing to men, not women. You've got to get women. That's the vibe I get.
And kids. Be fair.
I kind of see what you're saying. I think ultimately what we're going to see happen this month is the marketing campaign is really going to attempt to bring in the women, because that's the last audience I think the studio is going to be concerned with, because they know the kids are going to really drive it. I mean, this is the movie Taylor made for, you know, 10-year-old boys, and it's going to show. I really think it's going to do that.
But the consensus remains, we're all saying it's going to be in the threes. Let's put it this way, just harking back to something Christina said. If this thing hits just Thor or Captain America numbers, it's a fucking disaster. This movie, because you're not just talking about a movie that cost the Earth, but you're also talking about the future of the entire Marvel Studios legacy here. If people don't react to this movie favorably, if people are sick of these characters by the end of this movie, it's over, I think. I mean, yeah, Iron Man 3 will be in production, apparently, although I've really not heard anything about it. Thor 2 and Cap 2 are now getting the momentum to get going, but it's like, it's over. It will be over. Okay, moving on then to the next week, May 11th, is actually a two-way showdown between two comedies, the first of which being Tim Burton's Dark Shadows. I honestly think this is one of the safest bets of the summer. Yes, people might be tired of Johnny Depp, but I still think the Burton-Depp combo meal works for people. And this movie got its marketing going very late in the game, but it doesn't seem to matter now, because I see that bloody trailer in front of everything I see. It's getting pushed hard over here, anyway. Even worse, people think that trailer's funny. There's no funny jokes in that trailer, and yet I see people laughing at it again and again and again. In fact, this Friday, I took my dad to see Titanic 3D, trailer played. He laughed right out loud at the end and said it looked very funny, loudly, to me, which made everyone realise, yes, that guy who thinks Dark Shadows is funny is my father, and there's nothing I can do to dissuade you from that. Fucking dad. Anyway, the trailer does sell it, actually, in a very safe way. It's a silly gothic comedy in the grand tradition of the Addams Family. It works. People will see that. It will be number one that weekend, despite the competition. And I'm gonna say $195 domestic for this. I can't go to two, but it's going to come close. I think you're looking at it here. Internationally, this thing's going to be huge, which is ironic considering we never got the show over here. But yeah, I think this is going to work.
The first time that I saw this trailer was actually in front of the Hunger Games, and I hated it, but it killed. People were laughing their asses off at this, and I was just looking around thinking, what the fuck? Did I fall into the Twilight Zone? But I really had to sort of step back from this one personally because I was letting my personal exhaustion with Johnny Depp sort of cloud my judgment over this thing. People still like Johnny Depp. People still like Tim Burton movies. And like you said, this looks exactly like The Addams Family. If you look at the poster for this one and look at the poster for The Addams Family movie, it's a carbon copy. Do I think it's going to hit 195? No. But it's going to be a solid hit. I'm going to put this at 120.
I actually am about $10 million up from Chris's prediction. I'm going to say 130. It's a weird thing because we talked about off air with Sean is there's the four quads that they use to track audience awareness. And we were kind of going back and forth. We believe it's 25. It's men over 25, men under 25, women over 25, women under 25. And you talk about the over 25 quads to the men and women, you say Dark Shadows, there's a good chance they're going to know what you're talking about because that soap opera was huge in the late 60s and early 70s. Our parents know what that is. It's a weird thing that I was talking to a friend of mine who works at theater exhibitor relations, and he was saying that, you know, it's not Dark Shadows, though. You tell older people about that. He said, I was alive when that show came out. It was huge. And he's like, that's not Dark Shadows. It's a comedy. Well, it's weird. And yeah, I mean, I haven't actually had the audience laugh. And if any movie is going to test the grounds of Johnny Depp and Tim Burton, it's this. Because they've had some successes together. They've had some failures together. Like, yeah, we're talking about Alice in Wonderland. And that movie was very successful, partially because of, well, I mean, they sold a Tim Burton movie with Johnny Depp in it. Also, it had the benefit of being the first 3D movie after Avatar. After Avatar, that's all people saw for 3 months was Avatar, Holmes, and the Squeakquel. That's all they saw. So here's a new movie coming up, and that movie did 340 domestic and a billion worldwide. Sweeney Todd was not a hit. That's right. I mean, Ed Wood, which is the best movie they ever did, bombed. Because poor Johnny Depp became a box of a straw. You know, Charlie and the Chalk Factory was a blockbuster. That did 210. Yeah, I'm going to say 130. I think it will do well. It could fail, though. This could be it's a weird movie, though. I think 195 is way too high, but I could be completely wrong.
I'm with Jamie on this one. In fact, I'm going to even go a little bit lower. I'm going to say it barely cracks 100. And my thinking there is, Jamie brought up the quadrants, and that's really what's going to make or break the movie, because people over the age of 25, men and women, they're going to be expecting, if they haven't seen the trailers, they're going to be expecting the Dark Shadows they remember from the 80s. People under 25 have never heard of the show, so it's literally going to, it really is going to test Depp and Burton's drawing power. And if a movie like The Avengers nails it like I think it will, I think that's going to carry over into the next weekend when Dark Shadows opens, and it's really going to steal a lot of the attention away from it for younger audiences. And I would even look at 21 Jump Street as kind of an indicator, because that movie, you know, it's on track to do at least 120, 130, maybe a little more at this point. But that's been on the back of some awesome word of mouth. I mean, it's got legs like no comedy's had in a little while, probably since Bridesmaids or maybe Horrible Bosses or something. But it's hinging on that younger audience because there just really hasn't been much else out there for them until Hunger Games came out. And with Dark Shadows, I think that's an audience that it's really just not going to get. I could be wrong. Depp's movies are hard to predict. Alice in Wonderland blew away my expectations. I did not think it would be more than 175 or 200. But I don't think that's going to carry over. And without a recognizable character for him, I really think it's probably going to do, probably open in the mid-30s, finish with right around 100, maybe 110, 115, but And I think that's pretty good. That's usually about the range, just a little bit under the range of these TV remakes. Like Get Smart came out a few years ago, and it did really well. It had Steve Carell, but it pulled in some of that younger audience, I think, and still kept the older audience because the tone of the movie was familiar to them in the original show. And I don't think you can say that about Dark Shadows. And I think that's what's going to hold it back.
It is so on. I love being the sole voice of insanity sometimes. well, look, no, you're right. I mean, it's going to go one of two ways, isn't it? I mean, if it underperforms, obviously it's a fight out between you three. If it goes north of what all of you are saying, I automatically win, no matter what.
That's true, but here's the thing. I mean, it's just such a weird movie to call, though, man.
I agree.
It is.
But there is another part of the equation as far as this goes, because Dark Shadows does not have May 11th to itself. No, it doesn't. It shares it with The Dictator. Now, this this is another comedy, one for people with an even lower sense of morality or humour. And I'm fascinated to see how this one does. Again, it looks horrible, but I have seen people rolling in the aisles to this trailer. And that's just my country, full of idiots, but it's happened. Now, are you guys even allowed to be seen laughing at Middle Eastern dictator jokes with us officials to blow up your American landmarks jokes? I don't know. If I'm right, this film won't even be shown in some states. Plus, if you have an unfunny comedy without special effects or production value like Dark Shadows, nothing else to hook it on, you can't pay people to see it. And I think we have another case here where the trailer is funny to some people, but the film itself just won't work. Don't forget, this thing has a plot. It will have a plot of some sort. And it involves Ben Kingsley, so the red flags start going up. So domestic tally for this one, I'll say 70 million. That's better than Bruno, but not much. 70 million. Chris?
When it comes to this one, I am basically sticking to the law of diminishing returns. Borat was huge. Bruno, not so much. I think people are getting sick of this man's shtick. This movie sort of looks like a bad Will Ferrell movie, and bad Will Ferrell movies don't make money. So I'm going to put this at 55 million. I don't think it's going to be a huge hit. I think some people are going to go out and see it opening weekend. Word's going to get out that it's shit, and it's just going to fall off from there. 55 million.
There's something that you're going to hear me say a lot, and I think you're going to hear Phil and Chris and Sean say this a lot in this podcast, in this videocast show, is there's a rule that tracking never takes into account, and they need to adjust it for this, which is you need to ask those people who you're tracking, what did you think of the last movie? You have to get an idea. And as Chris said, Cohen's shtick is so old now. He had so many people. He had a real benefit with Borat. And granted, like, they definitely oversaturated the market promoting that movie, but it worked. I mean, it made $130 million. It was well-reviewed. It makes a fortune for Fox and Home Video. You know, Universal immediately set up a deal to do Bruno. That movie, that was a case where it won the weekend, but it was a case, if I remember correctly, it made most of its money on Friday, and it was so, the word of mouth was so toxic that the numbers were dead by Saturday, if I remember correctly, what happened with Bruno that summer. Cohen's shtick is old quick. I mean, yeah, like, even before, yeah, Bruno, it's like, it had, to this day, the most brilliant prank I have ever seen in a movie or TV show. It's so brilliant, I wish I'd thought of it. Is the steel cage prank. It's so genius, but you know what? People didn't think that was funny. This movie doesn't look that funny. There have been a couple of chuckles at the trailer, and that's kind of it. And, you know, some of it, honestly, is the fact that America, I hate to say this about my country, which I'm proud of, and I love being an American and all, but America is primarily a very homophobic country, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I think Bruno didn't take off, because you have an openly gay character. I think that has something to do with it, honestly. Here, it's not going to be as bad. It's kind of eerie how close our predictions have been so far. Chris said 55. I actually have it at 50. I think this is going to completely die. I just don't see it. This needed to have a Red Band trailer first and foremost to sell it. Like 21 Jump Street did. The first thing they put out was that Red Band that I thought was hysterical. And that won a lot of people over. They didn't do it with this. I think it's because they don't have much good material, honestly.
Pretty much in the same same line of thinking as you guys. I don't see where the appeal is going to be at, and that's mostly because of Bruno. I think as much as I like Cohen, and I really think this is actually going to be the film that pushes him more towards more serious roles like Hugo, because he's got a lot of ability there. And The Dictator, it's honestly what I'm going back and forth on. A few weeks ago, I was saying 60, maybe 70 million. Like, the trailers looked okay. The more I see them, especially with an audience, even though I hate doing that because it depends on the crowd. But it's just not, I don't think it's hitting. And I think, Phil, you mentioned, it was Jamie, you mentioned the opening weekend for Bruno. It opened up 31 and it only made 60. I mean, it didn't even double its gross. That's awful. And I think people are going to remember that. Borat was just, as much as I hate to say it, it was a one-off. And, you know, honestly, over at box office, we've been predicting about 70. I'm coming down on that. I think it's going to be more like 45. It's just, I do not see it. At the same time, maybe the marketing just hasn't kicked in. Maybe it's not showing the right stuff. I don't know. These comedies are, for me, the hardest to predict because it really hinges on what they can and cannot show. And we all know this is going to be a super hardcore R movie. But that happened with Bruno, and I learned my lesson because I was expecting big numbers for Bruno. You know, I bought into that, and it didn't happen. And even if The Dictator is a better movie, it's going to pay for the sins of it. So, yeah, I say it opens to maybe 15. Closes with 15 or maybe 20. We'll go 20 opening and closes with about 45.
Before we get hung up on the public funeral here, before we get
Sasha Baron Cohen's comedy 2006 to 2012.
It's so true. I will Photoshop that tombstone if we're right. But just before we get hung up on the Bruno thing too much, you are right in some respects. I do think there's something very specific that we do need to mention about Bruno and why it failed. That movie was repulsive. That movie proved there is a limit to what you can show to people.
True.
That movie just pushed it to the fucking edge and beyond. It's repulsive. Can I ask people a question? Have you all seen the second trailer for The Dictator?
Yes.
One that actually shows the plot. So for those of you who haven't seen it, basically the idea seems to be that John C. Reilly captures him and cuts off his beard, making him unrecognisable, even to his own people, I guess. So I imagine Ben Kingsley's going to be the villain that takes over or some bullshit. He usually is in this kind of deal. I guess the dictator gets work at a deli, and it's basically one joke, which is that he misunderstands, and if you talk smack, he punishes you with death, like he would in his own country. That seems to be the one joke in this, except he literally can't kill people because this is a safer comedy. That's the thing that's getting me. It's not even pushing itself to the limits that it should. Like, I spoke about this when we talked about the first trailer, the running gag, when he obviously runs off and grabs the gun and shoots the guy. Now, I thought if he'd actually shot the guy in the head, or at least visibly killed him, I would have laughed. That would have been funny to me. But he doesn't. He just shoots him in the leg and he starts up and down.
That's right, because if you're going to go that far, just go all the way out.
Yes, absolutely. So, May 18th brings you Battleship. opening against What to Expect When You're Expecting, but we're focusing on Battleship. More curious than anything with this film is why it's opening in the overseas markets like mine a full month before it opens in the States. My only guess is that they know it has no chance against films like Dark Shadows and Men in Black 3 over here if they sandwich it between the two. But it doesn't have a fucking chance in the States if it opens between those two. And it is! And this thing, this is the bomb of the summer. I can't think of a film that I want to see less. Those trailers get no reaction, except for the reveal of the title at the end, which in this country is just met with bemusement. In your country, I imagine it's left with howls of laughter. You can't serve people Transformers Lite when they've had three Transformers full movies. They won't swallow it. In fact, I read a review from one guy at a test screening of Battleship, and the general consensus seems to be it's like a Michael Bay movie without the energy or imagination. Let that know what it's going to be like. You know, in the States, it literally has a week to make money before the competition eats it alive. It'll open number one, I think, with about 40 million, something like that. Some piddling amount, really, for a movie that expensive. Overall, it won't even hit 100. It's Green Lantern again, this one. I'm going to say 90 domestic. And I'm being generous, Battleship. 90 million. Chris?
Well, you know you have a problem when at the end of the trailer, the number one topic that's being discussed by my audience is, was that Rihanna? That girl looked like Rihanna. I think that was Rihanna. Yeah, I don't think that this is going to hit 100 million. I think, similarly to you, Phil, it's going to open decently, and then it's just going to taper off. I actually was a little bit kinder than you. I gave it 92 million, but I gave it 92 because I think the studio is going to leave it in there. Just like when I said Avengers, they're going to try and limp that to 300. They're going to do everything they can to try and limp this thing to 100, but it's not going to get there. 92 million.
The only thing I would disagree is that I don't even think it's going to win its weekend. I think What to Expect When You're Expecting, which is not a part of the main predictions, I actually think that's going to pull a lot of the business away because a lot of women are going to be dragged to see Avengers by their husbands, boyfriends, whatever. And I feel like this is the, this always happens. There's a few weeks later, there's the payback movie. Okay, you have to come with me to see this. And I feel like that's what's going to happen with What to Expect When You're Expecting. It's also very smart. They're opening against a movie that has Battleship that nobody gives a shit about. Like, yeah, they're going for the two quads, male quads, but it's just so bland. I mean, yeah, it's Transformers. There's nothing about it that's interesting. I've seen that in front of every movie in the last couple of months. Every movie. Never gets a reaction. Chris, you said Rihanna? I didn't even get that much. And it sounds like we're just repeating each other a lot, but I actually have it at 90 even. But I'll go lower and say 80 just to make things interesting, because I really don't think this is not going to cross 100. And this, of course, you feel bad for Taylor Kitsch because he was in a great movie with John Carter that was a movie that, had it had better marketing, we would be talking about what a big hit that was. And then this, just... It just also shows, like, how bad things are at Universal, which we'll get to that, trust me. Some other bad Universal decisions. But that's all. I'm going to say 80, so.
Wow. I'm a little surprised. I'm actually going to be higher than all of you. Not by much, though. No, I think this is Cowboys and Aliens all over again. It's marketed as a big event movie, but I'm putting my faith in audiences, and they're going to see straight through it. And you've already touched on it pretty well. It's Transformers Lite. And I think that might have worked if it had been 3, 4, or 5 years after a Transformers movie. But 10 months after Transformers 3, which still did huge numbers, it's too similar. And I think the point about What to Expect When You're Expecting, probably dragging away some of the potential male audience from the women who are dragging their husbands, I think that's a fair point. I mean, it happens all the time. And unless your movie looks... Well, when your movie looks like Battleship, it's not in any position to compete, really. In fact, you guys could be right. It could actually do lower than 80. It would not shock me, but I'm going to say, just on the sheer fact that it's going to be marketed like crazy and it has the Battleship name, and people probably, especially younger audiences, are going to see it just to see how ridiculous it is, that it gets closer to Cowboys and Aliens or Green Lantern numbers. So I'm going to say 105 domestic.
It's interesting, because if you obviously, yeah, if it hits anything north of 100, you've won, Sean, so damn you. We're all getting too close to each other. This is getting dirty. You know, the interesting thing about the Battleship trailers is, obviously, yeah, it's called Battleship, so the battles have to take place on sea, but they know that that's not as interesting to people as seeing battles take place on land with lots of buildings exploding. So if you notice in the trailers, most of the footage of alien invasion or all the action, it's a building shattering. It's as if to say, honestly, we were saying the battle for Earth begins at sea, but really, most of it takes place on land. Honestly, we swear.
I'm going. That's the thing, we talk about all these movies, I'm going to go see most of these. I would rather go see What to Expect When You're Expecting than Battleship. And I don't know if that speaks to my bad taste in movies, which it could, or just the fact that Battleship just looks so uninteresting. Because with What to Expect, think about it, they just did a second trailer that was the biggest piece of, not pandering, but it was aimed firmly at men, was the dudes.
Yes.
And they've got a Facebook about the dudes, which will get a lot of attention. And it's hard to gauge audiences with comedies the most. But people laughed.
Just do your own thing, Peter Berg. I feel so sorry for you, man. I hope you've got someone to hug.
No. He signed on after Hancock made $600 million, so he didn't have to do this.
I guess.
He didn't need it, man. That's where you go, like, you're just arrogant, dude.
And you and me still got bruises from Hancock. We hated that movie. But I understand, that one felt like it was made by committee. This one, totally. Yeah, probably the same thing. Anyway, moving on. Men in Black 3 has Memorial Day weekend all to itself. Quite unusual, really. Usually, Memorial Day weekend gives us a battle between two big releases, and usually it's a family film versus a more adult-orientated action/science fiction movie. Last year, of course, we had Hangover 2 versus Kung Fu Panda 2. 2009, for example, we had Terminator Salvation versus Night at the Museum 2. Boy, did we get that one wrong. This year, nothing dare open against Men in Black 3, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't blame them. More than any other movie this summer, at the moment, this is the one I hear people wanting to see. And now all attention will be on Batman once Men in Black's open, but for now it's this. People have a lot of nostalgia for Men in Black. Now, let's go by Jamie's rule that the opening of the next sequel is a direct reaction to how people felt about the previous movie. Men in Black 2 completely sucked. But I actually think the rule doesn't apply here. I actually think Men in Black 2 is so hollow and so instantly forgettable that people who did see it have forgotten that they saw it. And when they remember Men in Black, all they think about is the first film, which they liked, so they'll go and see this. From what we hear also, shockingly, the film's actually a crowd pleaser. Yeah. The only thing that sucks is that Will Smith has not done a song for it. People will want to dance out of the theatre at the end of this film to one of his jiggy songs, and they won't get the chance. That's a missed opportunity. The song blows as well, but, you know, that's not going to affect the box office. But for this one, I'm going to say 250 domestic gross, exact same as the first film. Call me crazy, that's how I see it.
Bullshit! Yeah, I think I'm going to call you crazy, because I don't see it matching the first one at all. The last one was 10 years ago. People did not like that movie. It was not liked. Now, yes, it has Will Smith, and Will Smith is very much beloved, and people like him and all of that, but I really don't see this clamoring of people wanting to go see Men in Black 3. I don't know where this clamoring is that you're seeing it, Phil. I really don't see it. I would hesitate to even put this thing over 200. I really don't think it's going to get there. I think that the first one was liked. It was not that well liked, and it wasn't that good of a movie. I'm going to say 175. I don't see this crossing 200. I think people will go opening weekend. They'll say, eh, it was all right. The word of mouth is not going to be sparkling on this one, and it's just going to sort of get lost in the shuffle, I think. 175.
I'm saying 190, actually. It's apparently tested very well. I've seen some good audience reactions. But, yeah, it's Will Smith, and Will Smith is one of the few people who guarantees a certain amount of money. He's a movie star. That's what a movie star is. He guarantees asses and seats. And I feel like they're going to do it with this one. I don't have much to say. I mean, it looks uninteresting as shit to me, but that doesn't matter. Because I don't speak for the public. I mean, I don't always speak for the public. You know, I can certainly been there have been differing views on that one. But, yeah, I'm going to say 190. It could hit 2. I really could see it. But, yeah, you're insane. 250.
I'm not going to say insane, but I'm definitely not going that high. If it gets that high, I think it'll be because of the sheer lack of competition. I mean, it has Memorial Day weekend to itself. How often does that really happen? I mean, you add in Will Smith, who I'm actually of the opinion that he's probably peaked in his career. I'm sure a lot of people think that, as far as what he can draw at the box office. But I don't think he's dropped very much. Maybe his time away from big movies, because it's been, 4 years since Hancock, and then, you know, not counting 7 Pounds, which, you know, not even a fair comparison at all. It didn't do a whole lot of business. But I see it pulling about 200. It's kind of that, it's one of those movies that, because it has Will Smith, because it's a sequel, and it has 3D prices to help that out at least a little bit, it's probably going to get close enough to 200 that I'm sure Sony will get it by there. But really, I think Pirates is almost a good comparison in franchises, because fourth Pirates, it almost seems like the fourth Pirates is kind of coming in from a similar position as Men in Black 3. It had a predecessor that disappointed a lot of people, and it showed. I mean, when Pirates 4 came out last year, it sold something like 40% less the number of tickets as Pirates 3 did. And if you do this, if you do the math, I mean, That pretty much would translate to about your $250 million. Or no, take it back. It would be about $155. But I think it'll hold on to a little more than that, just because it's had enough time to breathe as far as Men in Black 2 goes. People have probably forgotten it. And it's Memorial Day weekend, so they're going to have a reason to go see something. But it's one of the harder calls. I've gone back and forth on it for the last few months. I started out saying about $150, but begrudgingly, I'm going to say 200 on the spot. I think we get another Superman Returns instance where if it's not there, they'll find a way to get it there.
Moving on then, next week, June 1st, Snow White and the Huntsman has itself June 1st all to itself. Oh, baby. After that last trailer, this film bumped itself up to my third most anticipated film of the summer. If this one sucks, I am going to be pissed. But I have high hopes. Don't start singing. I have high hopes. I love everything I see about it. And now people might want to call this the surprise hit of the summer. I wouldn't. Because I don't think it's going to be a surprise. There's no bad buzz on this thing. People want to see it. It's being marketed really well as it could be. People are expecting it to do well. It's going to do really well. It's going to own June, actually. And I'm going to say 280 domestically for this one. Internationally, it is scary how well this will do. You could be looking at 800 to 900 million worldwide on this baby. I am telling you, this thing is going to do phenomenally well. I'm convinced of it. I believe in this one. 280 domestically. Mark my words. Chris?
Looking at this film, the best comparison that I have for this is for something like Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland did 334 domestic. Now, I'm not saying that this one's going to get there, but I see this performing similarly to that film. Now, granted, Alice in Wonderland had 3D, which this one is not going to have. Alice in Wonderland had IMAX, which this one is not going to have. Alice in Wonderland was PG, so people felt more comfortable bringing smaller kids to it, and it had Johnny Depp. This one's going to be PG-13, and I guess the biggest star that they've got in this one would be K-Stu, and she has some fans, but she also has a lot of detractors, which is why if you watch the trailers, they sort of hide her away, and they focus more on Charlize and on the Huntsman and the visuals, which look spectacular. I think that this film is going to open. I think it's going to play well. I could see guys going to see this. I can see girls going to see this. I could see pretty much anybody going to see this. I don't see this cracking 300, though. I'm going to say 225 domestic. That seems to be a pretty rounded number. I believe the budget on this is about 70.
Oh, my God. No way.
They said online it was 70. Clearly, it's got to be higher than that for all the visual effects that I'm seeing in here. But I'm going to say 225.
This show doesn't cost 70 million. This podcast makes more than that. Jamie.
$200 million is a very hard number to hit. I don't think people realize that enough when you look at box office. People just like spat out numbers like, oh, it'll do that. And it's like, well, they're very hard numbers to achieve, too. You've got to be able to have a good enough opening, reach enough of the quadrant's interest to be able to sustain a $200 million domestic gross. I think this could... No, Spill, it's not a bash to you, sir.
Okay.
No, not at all. You know, there have been crazier predictions that have happened, though. I mean, I feel like if any... And I say this with love. I think if any crazy prediction of yours could happen, it's this. Because, like, yeah, this movie looks unique. And as Chris said, it's off of the imagery, it's off of Theron, and it's off of Hemsworth. In that order. That's how they're selling this hard. We talked about, like, I think there's only 3 movies that are truly hitting all 4 quadrants. And I think this is one of them. The other 2 we're going to get to in a bit. Surprisingly, this one, there's another issue. People said, like, I don't know if... you're going to see a lot of guys who have enough courage to muster up and go to the box office and say, one for Snow White. That's bullshit. Like, if the movie looks cool enough, which this does, it's not going to be an issue. I'm not willing to say $200 million. I think it could, though. It would not surprise me. I got to be conservative on this and say 180, which is a lot of money for an original property. And I think it might end up being the highest grossing original movie of the summer. Well... with no brand, not even that though. So I guess I have to retract what I just said a second ago. I think it could be one of the big grossers of the summer just by how unique it looks.
I agree with Jamie. He pretty much said everything that I'm thinking about it. It's 200 is a very hard number to hit, especially in this day and age, and especially after the last 2 years. I mean, we've seen a lot of disappointments in 2010, 2011. And especially in 2010, I think it just comes down to what are people willing to spend their money on. Snow White is the kind of movie that could easily go any direction. And what it might hinge on is the Twilight fan base. As weird as that sounds, Kristen Stewart she's not a star yet, I don't think, outside of Twilight, but she's going to draw in a little more interest than people like Robert Pattinson and Lautner. I mean, their movies outside of Twilight have so far failed to do much of anything. Having a property like Snow White is going to help her. Having a larger cast is going to help out. But I tend to look at this more as a franchise starter and not a bust out of the gates with the first movie kind of thing. In a weird way, I almost look at Van Helsing, like 7-8 years ago. It did about 120 domestic. And I think this will do more than that. But more like 150, 160. And if the Twilight fan base comes out, I mean, it could even be a little front-loaded. But I would say mid-50s opening to about 160 domestic. No, I mean, and that would be a great total. Like Jamie just said, it's It just requires a little perspective on how difficult it is to hit 200, and if, but at the same time, movies like Pirates can just come out of nowhere. You know, back in 2003, who would have thought Pirates of the Caribbean was going to do $300 million? I mean, the trailers were practically a joke. If those trailers had come out in this day and age when social media can make or break a movie within one day, I'm not even sure Pirates would have done as well as it did. But it also had Johnny Depp, and Snow White doesn't have anything like that. So that's what I think is going to really kind of keep it to more modest blockbuster numbers, if you want to call it a blockbuster. But it could set itself up pretty well for a franchise. You know, if it tops at least 150, you know, I think they'll be in good shape. So I'm going to say, I'll say 160.
Sean, I know you're new to the show, but we do have some rules here. Number one is never mention Van Helsing, especially when I'm excited about something. Secondly, stop agreeing with him. Like, if you could just pretend to agree with me for one thing, that would make my day. I'm getting very nervous here. Just so you know.
We just saw Mirror Mirror. That looked exactly like what you think a Snow White movie would be. It bombed. And that's the irony of all this, is that there was such a race to get these two Snow White movies out that Relativity spent twice the amount of money that was they needed to just to make a release date. They're saying the budget was 80? Bullshit. The budget had to have been twice as much that just to make that March release date. They weren't even shooting last summer when they announced the March release date. And yet, it doesn't matter. It was all about getting out there first, and Snow White and Huntsman has got all the attention from people. You know, the joke is that it looks more like a Tarsi movie than Mirror Mirror did. That's the irony. It does.
Wow.
You don't. Please disagree with me if you do.
No, I can agree with
there,
that.
There you go again. Say no.
I can't help it.
Disagree with him. Moving on then, it's competition the next week. This is where things start getting a little bit interesting. June 8th brings us Prometheus. As much as I'm dying to see it, this is one of those cases, the opposite of Huntsman, where I can't let my enthusiasm run away with me. And I am super excited to see this film. This is the film that I've been waiting for since Aliens. We were all expecting, you know, for the third film to be taken either to Aliens on Earth or to the alien planet, and we never got there. Finally, we're getting there. It's taken a prequel to get us there, but I actually think Prometheus has escaped the pessimism that comes with a prequel. Nobody seems to mind in this case. I think Fox are doing as great a job marketing it as they can. They're selling it as the most gorgeous-looking film you'll see this summer, which is probably going to be true, as a science fiction action horror, and as an alien prequel. Now, we could do with some flashier posters, but I'm sure they're on the way. But the Alien series has never been a ginormous money-munching juggernaut. The first film was a huge success for its time. The second film was a huge success in relation to the piddling amount Cameron was given to make it. $18 million that film cost, and it made like 86, something like that. Huge for its time. But nothing else in the series has hit those big numbers, and yes, I am including those AVP movies. Unfortunately, we do have to. You also have to ask yourself, how well known is Alien as a brand outside of our circle, regardless of the fact that this film does not have Alien in its title? To the modern 20 to 25-year-old crowd, how well do they know the Alien movies? And since, finally, it is clearly a movie with horror elements, whether it ends up being R-rated or not, and that's still up in the air, how many people are turned off by that element? How many people don't see horror films or films with elements of horror in them? Finally, its competition that weekend is Madagascar 3, the family film versus the adult action science fiction film, as we were talking about earlier. I think Prometheus will be number one. I think it'll open with 55 million, which is pretty damn good considering the odds against it. And I think overall, I'm going to say 210 domestically. which is very good, really good, because I believe in the movie again, and I think people are going to love it. But it's not going to be one of the heavy hitters of the summer. It's not going to do what, well, like, for example, what I've just said Snow White's going to do, and some of the movies that we're going to talk about later. So I'm going to say 210 domestically. Chris?
This one was really, really tough for me to call, because there really wasn't much for me to go off of. I mean, the trailer looks great, but they aren't really selling this like a prequel. I mean, if you watch that trailer, I mean, did they ever once say, this is a prequel to Alien? Did they ever come out and directly say that? No. There's plenty of people who've never seen any of those Alien movies. So they would be going into this completely fresh. And you were talking about how none of the Alien movies were really huge, gigantic blockbusters. The more and more that I thought about this, the more and more that I couldn't help compare this to Rise of the Planet of the Apes last year. The movie that everybody thought was going to completely tank. They said, oh, nobody wants to go see ape movies, but then people got a look at the movie. And the movie was great, and word of mouth just carried that thing on. I don't think that this is going to hit 200, but I do think that word of mouth, I mean, this, I'm just assuming that the movie's great. I mean, for all I know, the movie could be a total piece of shit. But if the movie's great, word of mouth is going to carry this thing. I could see this going to about 165, but I don't see it. I don't see this crossing 200. Because like you guys were saying, 200 is a very hard number to hit. And there's a lot of competition this summer. So I don't see it quite getting over 200, so I'm going to say 165.
By the hand of God, I have got the exact same amount for Prometheus. It's the hardest movie to call this summer. It really is, because you think it looks great, but there's that thing about, yeah, it's an Alien prequel, and are people going to be into this? And if it's an R rating, which we don't know yet, there have been sort of different rumors about Scott was basically, the rumor I heard was that Scott was basically told you can have Final Cut if you deliver PG-13. And we know that PG-13 horror movies, they sell. They sell really great. They don't have, it doesn't have the same stigma it used to, with thanks to stuff like The Ring. I don't know, though, because it kind of reminds me of Kick-Ass, really, a movie that did play great. Like, you put any audience in front of Kick-Ass, it tested through the roof. People loved it. But the problem is that they didn't sell it well. They basically said, we're only going to sell this to dorks who are going to go see it anyway. And guess what? That's why Kick-Ass didn't do well. And not as bad as Scott Pilgrim, because you put that, I mean, I saw that movie with an audience, and people didn't give a shit. So I don't know. I'm going to say 165. I mean, I feel like 200's pushing it. I really do. It depends on what this movie is. I can't call it, man. It's so hard. This is the year where we agree on everything, apparently. but it's true.
Tell me what it means. Sean.
250.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow.
250 on Prometheus! Come on, man! Come on! You gotta put it on! Come on, Sean Zen! Get it! Come on, Sean! Prometheus! 250!
Okay, man, you won it, you got it!
Yeah!
Alright! Okay!
I think Scott's going back to his roots here, and I think this is the movie his fans, which are primarily adults at this point, have been looking for since Gladiator. I mean, and that's a long time, 12 years. But you guys talk about how it's not being sold as a prequel to Alien and all that. And I think it's brilliant. I think they need to let this movie get away from the stigma caused by the two AVP movies and even the last two Alien movies. I mean, of that entire franchise, only a third of it is really well remembered. And it's kind of the Inception Super 8 of the summer. It's the hardest to predict. It could go either way. And I think it comes down to, the main reason I bring up Super 8 and Inception is because they represented two very different ways of selling what were essentially original movies. And the marketing was nostalgia versus originality. Inception, Warner Brothers made no bones about the fact that this was something you've not seen before. Super 8, again, another sci-fi movie, but it relied on Abrams, Spielberg, and nostalgia to sell the movie, and it just didn't work for everybody. The good thing is it turned out to be a great movie, it had great legs, it still turned out to be a financial success, but it didn't live up to the big gross numbers that everybody thought it would do, which was generally around $200 million. I think it did something like $130 million,
yeah.
I can't remember exactly. Prometheus, I could end up regretting this. It could do half of what I'm saying, and it would still be pretty good. But I think June is wide open for a movie like that. Because, you know, prior to Prometheus, there's really not much out there for adults looking for any kind of action or especially horror. And then in June, really, there's just not much left until The Dark Knight, really, until the end of July for that audience. And that's going to give it a lot of playability. Sci-fi, or I'm assuming it's going to be R-rated. I don't think there's a rating out for it yet. But even if it is, I don't think that's going to hurt it. If anything, I think it might give it a little more credibility as to what Scott's doing with it. Because the original Alien movies were huge back when they came out. In, like, R-rated sci-fi movies, Matrix, you know, they can do big numbers with the right movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the rating's really going to hurt it so much. It's just, it can't be too out there. That's the only catch to it. If it's too esoteric, for the lack of a better word, then it's not going to catch on with younger people, I don't think. But we'll see. I'm going with my gut, though. It's just, I think it's well-positioned. I think it's got enough originality, which is what audiences really want right now. If there's one lesson to be taken from the last two summers, it's that rehashes, remakes, sequels, or even just adaptations of things people don't care about, they just don't work as well as they used to 10 years ago. You'll get the occasional big one, you know, Transformers 3, you know, stuff like that. But Prometheus really, it fills a void that, like I said, only really Inception and Super 8 tried to in the last couple of years. And there's no other movie like that this summer. It is in a league of its own. Everything else, all these big movies we're talking about are adaptations or sequels or, you know, just returning characters or actors doing the same thing they do. Prometheus is something different. It has a great cast, too. So I'm putting my faith in Scott. So I'm going to say 250.
You'll regret this, Robbins! You'll regret this! But, oh, sorry, before we move on, does anyone have anything to say about the Madagascar 3 equation here? We haven't mentioned it at all.
Again, I think we're going to see diminishing returns for this one. I looked it up, and the first one did 193, the second one did 180, and I don't hear anybody talking about this franchise. I don't really think this isn't as beloved a franchise as something like Toy Story or Cars or even something like Ice Age, so I think this one does like 150, because we've seen like a lot of these little animated movies. Like last year, we thought Cars was going to do... Everybody overestimated Cars, and everybody overestimated Kung Fu Panda, and they both did less than what people were expecting, and I think this one's going to do less, too. So I think Madagascar 3 is going to do 150. If that.
June 15th, that date which has claimed many a flop, I have to say, will now home Rock of Ages. Oh boy, I don't know about this one. I fully admit, I am guessing on this one. Musicals are very hard to predict. Musical comedies are even harder. This, I don't think it's going to do badly. I just don't see it doing particularly well either. I don't know why. I'm just not feeling buzz on this thing. Yes, Tom Cruise is back, no doubt. And the whole hook of both trailers now has been come see Tom Cruise as a rock god. I don't think that's much of a hook, really. What actor would you want to see as a rock god in a film that could get bums on seats? Don't answer James Woods, because that would not get bums on seats. It would get mine, but that's about it. I'm going to say 120 domestically. It'll do fine. just fine. No more, no less. 120. Chris?
Like you said, calling a musical is very, very tough. Like, Phantom of the Opera did 51 million domestic. Hairspray did 118. And then you have Mamma Mia, which did 144. So, stars plus catchy music typically equals some money. I'm going to put this in between Hairspray and Mamma Mia. I'm actually going to say it does 125.
I would have said, like, after seeing that first trailer, just off of pure gut instinct, 150, because, again, it's something different. And it does have Tom Cruise, and now he's coming off MI4, and we're not going to hear the end of the whole, is Tom Cruise over or is he back? He's back now, but I guarantee the moment he has an underperformer again, it's going to be, oh, it's over again. It's like Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
It's true, though. Will Ferrell, you always hear people, like, he has a hit, he's back. He has a bomb, oh, it's over. And it's always back and forth with him. It's the same thing with Cruise. After the first trailer, I would have said 150 off sheer instinct. After the second one, I don't know what it is, but it got a lot lower. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's going to have to make its money quick. I'm saying 110, man. I just don't know what it is about this movie. It just isn't registering with me. And I love 80s pop tunes. That's my favorite decade for rock songs and shit like that. I don't know.
You say that it has to make its money quick. I'm not necessarily sure that it has to make its money quick because it's something out there for women to go see. Just like for What to Expect When You're Expecting, this is counter-programming. It's something for women to go see because the entire summer is going to be shit blowing up, shit blowing up, shit blowing up, shit blowing up. And unless you're a cool chick like me, you don't want to go see shit blowing up every single week. You're going to want to go see something that's catered towards stereotypical women's things, and women like watching people sing, apparently. So I don't think that this is going to have to make money quick. I think that if the movie is good, word of mouth is going to spread on this one, and it's going to hold. Mamma Mia didn't make $144 million quick. That thing held and held and held. And if this one is good, it's going to hold. So I don't think making money quick is the issue. The issue is whether or not the movie is going to be good enough to get word of mouth.
I would go with, like, 135. I mean, right in between Mamma Mia and Hairspray. It's just, musicals are, they're rare enough to where they're pretty much almost like a mini event whenever they do come out, but they have to be good. They have to be worth it. And I think the point about what women have as far as choices go at the theater this summer, it's pretty limited. And when you have a cast like Rock of Ages, I mean, you've got Alec Baldwin, Catherine Zeta-Jones, obviously Tom Cruise. I think it's big enough to draw the interest from younger audiences too, because these are all people who are kind of hot right now. Alec Baldwin, his career's been revived by 30 Rock and doing things like that. Cruise, you know, it took him a while, but thanks to Tropic Thunder and Ghost Protocol last year, I think he's finally past the point where the stigma's mostly gone. Even though he probably won't ever get back to where he was. So I think that's all going to play a pretty big factor. And I'm not even sure. Isn't the play pretty popular itself? Not the play, but the musical, the stage?
I think it's pretty popular, yeah.
So that's why
it is.
When Mamma Mia and Hairspray came out, I way underestimated them. And it's just because I wasn't familiar with them. Probably just at my nature as a guy, I guess. I don't know. But I didn't think those would do half of what they did. So I my gut's telling me Rock of Ages is going to do pretty much the same thing. So I'll say 135.
June 22nd brings us, my God, here's where it's getting rough. We have a three-way battle on June 22nd between Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, cue laugh, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, which I liked the trailer, but literally forgot about it the second after I'd seen it, to be fair. And both of those are going head-to-head with Disney Pixar's Brave. You fucking idiots. What are you fucking doing? Now, surprisingly, this isn't the film I'm most anticipating this summer, but it is the film I'm most interested to see how it does. Now, whether you agree with this or not, the angle the press has on this film right now is that Disney needs a big hit after John Carter, and all the pressure and all the hope is on Brave to do it, to bring in those big books that Pixar films tend to do. Now, I find it hard to get a pulse on this film because I still don't quite understand what the story is. It doesn't seem like it has that kind of one-sentence summation that most Pixar films do. Last Robot on Earth, Rat Chef in Paris, Fish Dad Searches Ocean for Lost Son. But then again, Up didn't have that. And Up almost hit $300 million domestically. Fact is, Pixar turned itself into a bulletproof brand. It doesn't matter what the film is or what it's about, you let people know it's from Pixar and they will come. And they will come opening weekend, and after that, it's down to the quality of the film, which usually has been superbly high to make it hold. But that brand is under threat, thanks to Cars 2, I think. I think Brave is going to be the proof for the public whether Cars 2 was just Pixar's inevitable blip or the beginning of the new Pixar, where we can't guarantee quality every time and we have to take each film as it comes. I'm going to believe, though. I've already fallen in love with Merida, the main character. You know, I saw her face, now I'm a believer, and all of that. I'm going to say 220 domestic for Brave, and I'm going to say another $1 billion in merchandising for fake red curly wigs for girls and authentic Scottish kilts for boys in the Disney store. 220 domestic. Chris?
Yeah, when you say Pixar, like, looking at the list of Pixar movies and looking at their domestic box office totals, overall, they usually hit 200, with the exception of maybe, I think, Bug's Life didn't cross 200, but, I mean, that one was an anomaly. I think that the only thing that might be working against this film actually would be the fact that they have a female lead. When you have a female lead in an animated movie, it tends to alienate the boys. They're going to have to work a bit harder to get the little boys to come in. Because if you look at all their other stuff, like Cars, you had Lightning McQueen, was a guy. Ratatouille, that rat, was a guy. Nemo, the leads were guys. I mean, you had Dory in there, but she wasn't the focal point. It's usually male-oriented stories for Pixar. This one's the first one with a girl. But I still think that that Pixar name is going to be enough to get people to come in there. Adults trust Pixar. Little kids like Pixar. So I actually have the same exact number as you, Phil. I had 220 as well.
Ooh. I'm actually going higher than both of you. I'm going to say 250. because well, let's be honest here.
Has a thing for Scottish chicks.
Exactly. And red-haired ones, too. No, but the thing is my best friend said it best. He says, Pixar is Coca-Cola. It's Hershey's. Everyone loves, you know, you buy a Hershey bar, you know what it's going to taste like. There's a dependability to that. The same way with Coca-Cola. There's very few, like, movies that have that, and Pixar does. And just because you had one bad can of Coca-Cola with Cars 2 doesn't mean they're going to suddenly stop drinking Coke. They're going to drink Coke again, just as much as they did last time. It just happens every so often. This is actually the other movie, I think, of in terms of the other hitting all four quads. And you say, like, male leads and stuff. You know, we heard the same thing about Ratatouille. There was a lot of concern about, well, the lead character's a rat. And then when Up came out, everyone said, yeah, but the lead character is an old man. This is a common thing every time a Pixar movie comes out. But it's such an unusual lead character, how will that, we don't know if it's going to work or not, and yet it works every time because the marketing is good enough and the movies are good enough. And I don't see how this doesn't succeed. I feel like Cars 2 was just a fluke. I think 250. I really do. I don't see how it doesn't do that kind of number.
It might be playing it safe, but I'm just going to stick with 200. It could go bigger. It really could. I agree in that the Cars 2 was probably just a fluke. And there are a lot of reasons for it. The best comparisons that I can think of are How to Train Your Dragon and Tangled. I think those are two movies that seemed like they just wouldn't break out. And Brave is in that class as well. But both of them still managed to crack 200. And a big part of it was quality. So as long as Cars 2 was a fluke, and the quality is back with Brave as far as Pixar goes, the brand recognition is still there. It's not going away anytime soon. It's 200 seems like a fair number. That's about what Ratatouille did. I think it did 206, back in 07, and then Cars 2 almost hit it. Now I will say I think Brave opens a lot lower. I think it might not even open to 50 million, but it'll have the legs to get to 200.
Did we all want to mention the competition? Chris, you had a number, I believe, for Abraham Lincoln?
I sure do. Holy shit. When that trailer played before The Hunger Games... Now, granted, I'd seen the trailer before online. We discussed it here. And when that trailer came up, I just sat back and waited. Because it seemed like everyone else was sort of trying to figure out, wait, what is this movie? What's going on here? I can't understand. I just said in my head, just wait till that title comes up. Just wait until that title comes up. And that title came up, and the entire place roared with laughter. And this was not the sort of laughter like, oh, wow, this movie's going to be great. This was a laughter of, are you kidding me? I heard people literally screaming at the screen, are you kidding me? Are they serious? What is this? And that sort of reaction sort of reminded me of another movie with a very stupid title that people got all worked up over the internet over. Snakes on a Plane. Snakes on a Plane did 30 million domestic, but that movie had Samuel L. Jackson, and it had the internet sort of driving that thing, even though it didn't drive it very far. I don't think Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter even cracks 30. I think it does less than that. I would say it does like maybe, I don't know, 25, 27 million, and then just completely drops from there. I don't see anybody taking that movie even remotely seriously. I think it's going to completely die.
The title kills it. I mean, that's just the problem, though. It's so fucking stupid. It could be great, but it doesn't matter. It's so dumb. And the other problem is, again, they're going for men, but those men are going to go see Brave because that's going to appeal because it's got the action, and it's a genre movie, basically, set, in the medieval times, medieval Scotland. That's going to get men. So, I mean, what Fox clearly wants to have happen is they want The Wanted spot, a movie that went up against WALL-E and surprisingly held its own, which no one expected. But I guess that was a fluke because every other time someone puts these weird genre movies up against a Pixar movie, it dies. You remember what happened the last time someone did that? They put Jonah Hex against Toy Story 3. Now, you all might laugh and go, but it's Toy Story 3. But yeah, but Warner Brothers was thinking this could be The Wanted. We could get a surprise hit out of this. I'm telling you, that's what they were thinking.
Do you know what it feels like to me? I've not actually mentioned this before. Do you know the company? I don't know what their name is, but you know the company that makes those cheapo DVD rip-offs of successful movies? The company that made Transmorphers and Snakes on a Train? And that's what this feels like. It's like, even though Spielberg's Lincoln isn't out yet, it feels like Spielberg's doing Lincoln and this cheapo company's doing friggin' Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I'll go. It's like a sci-fi channel movie, Christina. I'll go lower than Snakes on a plane. Sorry, Snakes on a Plane. This is more like Bubba Hotep. This is the cat. You don't even release this theatrically. Wow. You put it on DVD. That's what this is.
But Bubba Hotep was a good movie.
I know. Moving on then, oh boy folks, please rise for your national anthem. It's G.I. Joe Retaliation on June 29th. Look, this film is my second most anticipated this summer, and I don't give a shit who knows it. It looks, and this is the Brit on the show that's telling you this, it looks great, and everyone on the web likes it. That's quotation marks there. But that's all we have to judge it on. And common sense tells me that the audience for this movie in the real world is very limited indeed. G.I. Joe just does not have the mass market appeal of Transformers. There are people you could not drag to a G.I. Joe movie, no matter how cool it looks, no matter who you put in it. It looks cool because it's so retardedly cheesy and seems to be reveling in it in a way that the first film didn't. And, you know, me and Jamie loved the first film. It's a guilty pleasure. That was a film for 10-year-old boys. This is a film for 10-year-old boys. And their dads, who may have been 10-year-old boys when the show was on, and the rest of us sad male losers who watched the show but have yet to find a woman stupid enough to marry us and make babies. That's who it's for. I'm going to say 170 domestically, which
wow.
is better. Yeah, well, the first one did 150. I think this will do marginally better than the first one. I'm going to say 170 domestic for the Joes. I think people will like it more, but that's the best it can do. I'm being too nice, aren't I? Chris?
Yeah, the last one did 150, and that one looked like a total piece of shit to me. But this one actually looks good. It's got, well, good is a relative term in regards to this movie. But it looks fun. It looks better than the last one. You've got The Rock in there, who people like. I mean, they put him in the Fast Five movie, and people loved him in that. Bruce Willis is in here, so you've got him in there for some people to like. I can see this doing better than the last one. I don't see this cracking 200, though. I actually have it a little bit higher than you, Phil. I have it at 175. I think people are going to go and see it. I think people will laugh at it and enjoy it, but it's not going to be like a massive smash hit, but it'll make decent money. I say 175.
I'm kind of hoping people laugh with it rather than at it, but we'll have to see, Jamie.
Well, I mean, did people like The Last G.I. Joe? That's my thing. It's like, I mean, Phil and I loved it ironically. Well, ironically, also the fact that it is the cartoon brought to life. That really was, and that's why G.I. Joe got a lot of good reviews online, actually, because everyone clearly recognized Summers basically made the cartoon into a live-action movie, and it had the right headspace. It didn't take itself too seriously. The actors knew for the most part they were in a bad movie, and that's why it worked. It was so retarded, it was awesome. I don't know if anybody else liked it, though. What was the word of mouth on that movie? I mean, it dropped. I don't know if it had like a horrible drop off in the weekend too. But thing is, though, I think this is kind of talking out of their ass when they say like this is they're really trying to equate this as a reboot when it's not. And they're bringing in someone who was a household name in Johnson, and also Bruce Willis. Is that going to go into the home stretch and help him out? I don't know, because when I hear people say this looks better than the first one, well, the first one is just as ridiculous. This looks just as ridiculous as the first one. I just don't know if that's going to really mean anything. I actually am going to say it does better than the first one. I actually have it at 160 even. It could go lower. In fact, in all probability, in all logic, this will probably make less than G.I. Joe 1. But I'm just going to say 160 because it might have the benefit of Johnson.
No, I think it reminds me a lot of the Fantastic Four movies, I think, because the original G.I. Joe did cater so fiercely to kids. And that's what happened with the first Fantastic Four movie. You know, it had this big fan base out there looking forward to it, and still did a decent business. Did like $155 million, which is almost G.I. Joe did $150 million. I think there'll be kind of a similar drop off this time. The second Fantastic Four, you know, still did pretty solid business. It did about $130 million. The one thing I would say that makes it stand out more, or not stand out, but stand apart from Fantastic Four, is it looks like a completely different movie. It does not look like a sequel to the first movie to me, anyway. That could be a good thing, or it could be a bad thing. I think it's going to cancel it out and pretty much act like Hulk acted. You know, the first Hulk did $130 million back when it came out in 2003, and then the sequel / reimagining, whatever you want to call it, did almost the exact same number. G.I. Joe kind of feels like the same, except it's had a little less time for people to forget about the first movie, and B, for ticket prices to catch up and help out. So I think it does about $125 million, which is still pretty good.
I don't know what the budget on it is, but I mean, considering the competition it's going to have that we're about to talk about a few days later, you know, I just don't think it finds quite as large of an audience as the first one, but it still pulls from that kiddie audience that kind of keeps it going. But it's a fair point. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, whatever you want to call him, and Bruce Willis are going to help out, especially if the movie keeps it light. And that could result in me lowballing it, but I'm just not feeling it. I'm thinking it's going to drop. So I'm going to go with 125.
You know what, Sean, just to answer what you were saying before, and Chris might hate me for saying this, but every time I hear Dwayne Johnson interviewed about this, he keeps saying it's a reboot. And every time he says it, I want to smack him in the mouth. You don't do reboots 3 years after the first one. Just shut up! I'll just fully admit that if I did smack Dwayne Johnson, I'd never get that arm back. So I would not do that, but it's just, I just think it's ridiculous. It's a sequel, just live with it. And just the other thing I'll say about it, actually, because I just want to put this out there in case I'm right. We're all predicting that Channing Tatum dies in the first act. I don't think he does. Okay. I don't think he does. I think it looks like he dies, but I think he's faked his death, and he'll come back at the very end, just like Michelle Monaghan in Mission Impossible 4. That's what's going to happen. He'll be across the way, and Dwayne Johnson will wave to her, and he'll say, it's my job to protect him. That's what's going to happen. Channing lives, I'm telling you. And then it will be up to Channing, depending on how his career goes, whether he wants to be in a third one, if there is.
And so. I hope they have a scene where we find out that Bruce is low at his cholesterol.
The Amazing Spider-Man on July 3rd. Jamie, don't rub your hands together so quickly, you'll burn them. I am sick of talking about this one already. I'm not going to kick it anymore. We've made our feelings plain. Everyone except Sean, and I'll give him plenty of opportunity. Marketing is confusing. It can't decide whether it's a reboot or Spider-Man 4 in all but name. They won't show the villain properly. There's no good action being shown. It's all in the dark. It's following on from a really crappy sequel that people are still haunted by, physically haunted by. Nobody's excited about it. There's nothing to get excited about. And there is bad buzz on this thing. Also, by the time this film comes out, you can bet your ass that Dark Knight Rises will be running the final gauntlet of its promotion. The film will have had its press screenings. The reviews will not be under embargo. They will be out there, and that is all people will be talking about. People will see this out of curiosity and as something to tide them over until Batman. But that is all the Amazing Spider-Man is. To use the food analogy again, if the Avengers is McDonald's, the Amazing Spider-Man is the snack you pick up on a long drive to tide you over before you get to the amazing restaurant with the 7-course meal. That's what it is. It's a power bar. What I'm going to do, I'm going to say 77 million domestic... No. 70 million... No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. 77 million opening weekend, which is generous.
Now, can I ask real quick, I interrupt, is that the 6-day weekend?
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Oh, fuck, it's a good job we're not doing
it. It could be 77.
No, see, if it was 3-day, I was going to say 77, but honestly, I don't know. Jamie will talk about that in a bit, because they're doing a sly move with the release date on this, but I'll leave him to talk about that. Anyway, that's generous regardless. I'm just basing it on the cosmic lore that kids do love Spider-Man. And opening weekend, they'll go, but you're looking at a flat-out rejection after this. Overall, 205 million domestically. Nowhere near the numbers the Raimi movies have made. And honestly, you know, Christina's been mentioning a lot the crawl argument, where the studio leaves the movie in theatres until it can crawl to its money back. And that's what we're looking at here. Sony, who often play hardball, they'll just keep this thing in theatres until it hits, or should I say crawls, to 200, so they can say they have a hit. 205 million. This could be the end of Spider-Man, as they said in Spider-Man. Christina.
Oh boy. The trailer for this movie has been met with crickets every time I've seen it play. it's got bad buzz. Again, we have to talk about how was the last film received. Spider-Man 3 is the only movie that I've ever seen in the theater where I legitimately wanted to go to the box office and get my money back. I still want my $12 back that I spent to see that shit in IMAX. But again, you've got a very popular character that little kids like. Little kids, particularly little boys, I literally do not know any little boy who does not have a Spider-Man t-shirt, a Spider-Man blanket, a Spider-Man lunchbox, a Spider-Man something. Having said that, the tone of this film, at least from the trailers, it seems to me like the tone of this film is going to be a bit more adult. It's not going to have the bright colors and the pretty splashy things that the Raimi films had that sort of kept the kids entertained. I could see little kids going in to see this movie. I could see parents taking their kids to see this and the kids maybe even falling asleep halfway through it. This one, oh my God, this is so tough. Because the movie that I compare this the closest to would be something like X-Men First Class, where we had a good first movie. Second movie was great. The third movie, everybody hated it. And then now we've got a reboot or a prequel or something coming out. And people are hesitant to give it a chance. I don't know if this can crack 200. I really don't. Right now, I've got this thing at 150.
Jesus.
And I hesitate to say that. I might even issue a retraction after I hear all of your arguments, but right now I don't feel a buzz for this. I genuinely don't.
Do you want mass suicides at the Sony lots? Good God, woman. If it makes
I don't know.
Well, I mean, the problem
is... No, actually, Jamie will skip you. Sean, no, just kidding.
Yeah, no, I agree, actually. Let's get to... No, go... Look, yeah, Sean, let's... Sean and I have talked a lot about this, actually. More than Phil and I have, actually. I'm curious to get his official prediction first, because I think we'll be the ones bantering the most about this one. It is an interesting movie to call. The one thing we can all agree upon is it's going to be the lowest grosser by a huge margin. And if it does do well, it will be international. That completely saves their ass. The question is, how low, and is international really going to even save them? Go ahead, Sean.
I think the best comparison, I'm going to start with Spider-Man 3. It's the Batman and Robin of this franchise.
Yeah.
I think that's how it's remembered. I think that's how it's always going to be remembered, and I think it's going to show big time. It's... Now, the benefit is going to be a kiddie audience. I think you're right, Phil. It is a cosmic law that Spider-Man is always going to interest kids. Just like Fantastic Four, despite how much fans just hated that movie, the second movie still did really well. It's kind of the same thing. Kids are just always going to show up, especially during the summer. One of the interesting things I think with Amazing Spider-Man is the fact that it's being billed as this reboot. And, you know, it's going to take this darker tone because that's what's popular nowadays. Well, that works for Batman because Batman is supposed to be dark. When you go from Batman and Robin to Batman Begins, it's a more believable transition and it feels right. Spider-Man, it's like Sony saying, well, you know, just we messed up the third one, so let's just try to copy what everybody else is doing. And it's not going to work. 3D might help it because it's being shot in the format and that's going to keep the kids coming in because that's really not the only people that care about 3D anymore. So it's going to give it a little boost, but, you know, that's maybe an extra $15 or $20 million. So, and Superman Returns is another fair one to bring up, but I really think, you know, I would say Amazing Spider-Man is probably going to sell about half the tickets of Spider-Man 3. It's just hard to bet against it. So I'm going to say like 225, and that seems a little high. I could see it struggling to get to 200, and I could even see it doing 250, but it's...
Nah, it ain't doing 250.
It's,
nah.
Yeah, I don't...
Not happening. It's not going to be 240. I feel like 230 is the highest, and I feel that might be too much. it's hard because the little kids argument, I have to honestly sort of like blow that away because you go, well, Superman, Batman, Hulk, I heard the same thing. Their little kids will go, and yet you look at the numbers of all those movies. And, you know, Superman Returns and Batman Begins, actually, for all intents and purposes, those movies did great. $200 million, again, hard number to hit. That's a movie makes $200 million, it's a blockbuster. That's the way it works these days. They hit it, and not many other comic book movies have, to be honest, aside from really the Spider-Mans and a couple, and a, like two of the X-Mens. But yeah, and the other thing is there's an attachment to Tobey Maguire as that character. Because the first thing you're hearing people say is, where's Toby? The same way a year ago, Chris, you talked about X-Men First Class. What did people say the moment they saw the X-Men First Class trailer? What's the first thing they said? Where's Hugh Jackman? You can't overestimate that. And you also can't overestimate how despised that third movie was. And just the simple fact that nobody likes that they're redoing the origin. The reaction is still, really, they just did the origin. Well, they didn't just do the origin. It was 10 years ago. It just feels that way to a lot of people. Nobody feels the need of having to redo the origin. You know, the first teaser that came out flat out told you this is the new origin story. Second trailer comes out, what do? They completely hit it. They didn't want to tell you it was the origin. Because they realized, like, boy, that didn't do well. Let's try again. And unfortunately, it looks just like the Raimi movies. And I've gotten a lot of criticism, like saying, you're against this movie. I'm not against the movie. I'm not against rebooting on principle. It makes complete financial sense to do it. It's how they've gone about to make this movie that's been outright fucking foolish. I said on the Modern Myth Media podcast the other day, they were fortunate enough to let me guest on there. I said the one smart thing Sony did to selling Spider-Man was the way they had Garfield get out there in Mexico to unveil him as the new Spider-Man. They had a big public shindig about it. Cameras everywhere. He was everywhere the next day. Or that afternoon, his picture was everywhere. It's the new Spider-Man headlines. That was smart. That's the only thing they've done smart about this movie's marketing. Problem is everyone's going off brand name recognition. They think it's strong enough. It's not strong enough anymore. And Sean and I have both seen a lot of predictions that are goddamned insane to make for this movie. I think you would agree with me on that.
Yeah, no, it's they're 300 million is not happening.
Like, 250 is insane.
That would be a stretch.
It's such a stretch. I'm saying, what do I have up here? I have it at 200 even. It could hit a little bit more. It could, frankly, hit a little bit less. To me, the big tell is that they're going for a six-day weekend because they know they're not going to be able to make $100 million in 3 days, and I think they know that it's going to be a struggle to do it in 5 days. So now they're going to put it on the 3rd on a Tuesday. And some people might say, oh, but why would you want to put it on the 4th? Well, the 4th of July is a big movie-going day. You could have easily just said, we're going to open on July 4th. That'd be fine. Movies have done that before, big wide releases. I actually think that within the next month, we're going to see Sony come out and announce they're going to do Monday night 7 p.m. screenings because they're that worried. They want to be able to, just for the sake of face value, of saying we got to $100 million in a week.
So, opening on July 13th is Ice Age 4 Continental Drift. So the question I'm sure you're asking yourself right now is, why? Why skip Madagascar 3 but talk about Ice Age 4 in detail? Because Ice Age 4 could do even better than Brave this summer. These Ice Age movies are a fucking anomaly. They're huge money makers and still, as far as I know, extremely popular. Especially overseas, where the third film almost grossed $700 million. Domestically, the films have never hit 200, but they've come close in the 190 range. But this will be the same. 190, why not? I'll just say 190 flat. It might very well be the case where people actually go to see it the second weekend because they have no choice, because every screen playing Batman is sold out and they don't want to see Spider-Man and they stupidly didn't book ahead. I actually think Fox is counting on that, so I'm going to say 190 domestic. Chris?
Yeah, these movies are popular, but if you look, like, between the second one and the the third one. I think there's a bit of a discrepancy in the box office. I think the third one did a little bit less than the second one. So we're seeing diminishing returns again. And just like last summer where everybody was expecting the animated movies to just completely blow up all over the place, I'm going a little bit lower on this one because I think that we're going to see, again, a diminished return. I'm going to say 175 for Ice Age 4, which is still nothing to sneeze at, but I don't really sense that it's going to be as huge as the other ones were. I think the interest in this franchise is starting to wane. So I'm going to say 175.
You know, it's like the second one did 195, third one did 196. I actually am with Phil. I say 190 even. Actually, no. What I have written down here, actually, I'm going to say two even because it's only a couple. It's like, again, $1 million difference, and Fox isn't concerned clearly with Spider-Man, and they're not concerned with opening the week before Batman because the second. Oh no, I'm sorry. The last Ice Age movie came out the week after Transformers 2, which everyone knew was going to own the summer. Everyone knew that, and yet they said we'll be fine. And they made more than Transformers worldwide, and they still were able to hold their own domestically. So I don't see why it's going to be any different. I'm going to say 200 even.
Just to touch on the fact that Ice Age 3 was a little lower in terms of tickets because it had the 3D bump and everything, and it was what 3 years after the second one.
Yeah, 3 years.
I think a big part of that was because it opened a few days after Transformers, and the kiddie audience was not there as much as it could have been anyway. Because it opened to 41 million, and it still ended up almost hitting 200. Now, granted, it was around the July 4th weekend, but it's still a pretty good hold, even for an animated movie during the summer. I mean, this franchise is just remarkably consistent. It's shocked me every time. First movie, the second, the third, it's blown away my predictions every time, so I'm hesitant to say anything below 200. And the difference this time is Amazing Spider-Man. I don't think it's going to pull in nearly as many kids as Transformers would have. We're just going to give it more business until The Dark Knight hits. And even then, it's such a contrasting difference that Ice Age will probably just play for the rest of the summer. I mean, it's the last big animated movie, and Fox, you know, they don't make a lot of the best decisions sometimes, but this is just in the best spot it could possibly be. So I'm gonna say it doesn't miss 200. I'm gonna even go with 210.
Watch this all be wrong and it bombs, cause life's cruel like that.
I've thought about it. You all have convinced me. I'm issuing a retraction. I had a moment of temporary insanity. I after thinking about it and the way that you all put it. And especially considering this is the last kids movie, I do think that it could probably hit 200. I'm going to say 200 even, yeah.
The Dark Knight Rises opens on July 20th, apparently. Not heard much about it, but apparently it's opening then. At the risk of this being old, I'm going to do this whole prediction in my Bane voice. Okay, let's see how this goes. Okay.
Now, what I find most interesting in retrospect about The Dark Knight is that we forget when it was first announced that the title was very risky. Now, I love the title.
Well, I'm going to stop doing that. I love the title, but I was convinced, actually, that if you were trying to sell a Batman movie without Batman in the title, that was a risk. Like, if you looked in a listing in the local paper or on a ticket website without pictures, would average Joe know that The Dark Knight was a Batman film? And in the end, of course, we couldn't possibly predict just how big the film was going to be. And amazingly now, still amazes me actually, normal people, still call it The Dark Knight. They don't call it Batman 2, they don't call it that one with the Joker, they call it The Dark Knight. And everyone knows what you're talking about. So to call the next film the title of an extremely successful film, plus one extra word, is very, very smart. Also, I do believe, obviously, the Heath Ledger element got 157 million worth of bums on seats for opening weekend, but what kept them going back for more again and again was the overall impact of the film, because there was so much there to savour than just the Joker, and that is why people are now pumped up for more of the same in The Dark Knight Rises. I don't hear those conversations that I was worried I was, that, oh, it won't be as good because it doesn't have the Joker. You might hear that from people when they come out of the theatre opening weekend. It's impossible to say right now, but I don't think it will happen. This is the grand finale of a trilogy. That's what it's being sold as. That's the hook that everyone will get on board with. Who's going to live? Who's going to die? How's it all going to end? And people will want to know first. So will it break the opening weekend record? Yes. Not by much, but it will break it. Deathly Hallows 2 opened with 169 in 3 days. Dark Knight Rises will literally do 171. It will beat it by $2, and nobody will be surprised anymore by that. Will it match Dark Knight's domestic total of $533 million? No. But it will hit 520. That's what I'm saying. $520 million domestically is what I'm saying for this. Nothing else in the summer after this can compete with it. It has July and August and even September, if it stays there, to itself. I think it's going to be hugely epic and hugely satisfying. It's going to have a proper ending, and because of that, it's going to have satisfaction for an audience, and they're going to want that satisfaction again and again. I am so certain of this, and I hope my confidence scares you as the months go on. I know you think I'm crazy right now, but honestly, 520, that's what I'm saying. Chris?
This one was probably the toughest one to call, because the last one was so beloved by everybody who saw it. But then you have to factor in how much of that was due to Heath Ledger. How much of that was due to the media frenzy that was surrounding that film due to Heath Ledger's death. We aren't going to have that for this movie unless, you know, God forbid, the studio decides to take out Morgan Freeman or something to try and boost their ticket sales. I don't know what they're planning, but is this one going to hit 500? I don't think it's going to hit 500. I think it'll cross 400 easy. I think it could even cross 450, but I don't think it's going to get all the way up to 500. Right now, I'm going to say 475. I think 475 is a good number. I really do. I think that there's going to be such a clamoring of people that want to go and see this movie just to see how the whole thing wraps up. Now, do they have a character in there that's going to be as iconic as the Joker? I don't think so. I don't think Bane is going to be that iconic unless everybody walking out of there imitating that voice thing that he does. And we haven't really seen much Catwoman, so I can't make a call either way on that, but absolutely, this is going to be the highest grossing movie of the summer. Might even be the highest grossing of the year if Hobbit doesn't shake out, but I'm going to say 475 and pray that Jamie doesn't laugh at me.
I see where you're coming from for both of you saying, like, such high numbers, and anything near 400 is a great number. Even if it, like, God forbid, it only did, like, 380, that's still a great number. It's going to break the opening weekend record. It's going to break it's actually going to break a couple of records. It's going to break the midnight, it'll break the single day, and it'll break the 3 day. I think all of us here are going to agree with that, no questions asked.
Yeah.
I think it's also going to make $1 billion. And I think that and Hobbit will be the only movies to do it this year. I think it's the highest grossing movie domestically, no questions asked. I think Hobbit will make more worldwide, frankly. But, yeah, it's the safest bet of the year. You know, this time last year, despite what everyone was trying to make of this race about, like, it's going to be back and forth between Harry Potter and Transformers, it was silly because you knew it was going to be Potter. It was obvious. There's no way it wouldn't win, and it did. And it's the same way here. The Dark Knight Rises is going to win the year, no questions asked. I'm going much lower than you two, with all due respect, just because, you know, 435 is a just... I mean 535, excuse me, what The Dark Knight did is just, like, jaw-dropping. That's once-in-a-lifetime kind of numbers. I don't think you can get close to that again, personally. I'm actually going to say... I'm going to go a little bit slightly up to what I actually wrote down and say 440. That's a huge number, but just got to be realistic. I mean, you have to keep in mind that Ledger Tragedy made a lot of that business, but Batman Begins was insanely popular, and based on that alone, it was going to make $100 million in 3 days, Dark Knight. And the fact that the Joker was the villain, and everybody wanted to see how Heath was going to play it, but then him dying all of a sudden, I made the joke before, but it's not a joke. You know, you had little old ladies suddenly saying stuff about how that poor boy killed himself because he played the Joker. So many insane rumors that went about after he tragically overdosed on sleeping pills that it just made people have to go see it as soon as possible. It's going to be a huge, huge hit, though. There's no concern about this movie, though. The question is, will people feel it's a fitting finale to the trilogy? That's the only really question, because it's got so much to this movie. You know, people are complaining about, like, oh, they're not selling it yet. Look, they're not selling it yet because they're going to let Avengers have their little moment and do their great business, which they're going to do, and the moment it's over, it's nonstop Dark Knight Rises from then on out. That's all we're going to see.
I agree. As far as the marketing goes, there's just way, way too much being built up about that. Warner Brothers is doing exactly what they need to do. They know they can't replicate that little 6 month period there in 2008 where Ledger just sent the hype sky high with what happened. But they know they can't replicate that. They're not trying to, and that's exactly what they should do, especially with a movie that's as pre-sold as this. I think you guys will probably agree. I think this is the safest $400 million prediction we've probably ever seen.
Oh my God.
It could be a disappointing movie, and it will still hit it.
Yeah.
I mean, if something like Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen can hit $400 million, this should have no problem. The biggest thing that I have as far as worrying me is the expectations. And that's not just expectations created by Dark Knight and Heath Ledger. That's expectations created by Inception now. Nolan doesn't just have to make another great Batman movie. He has to make another great movie. And that, I think it's a challenge. If anyone can live up to it, he can live up to it. But everybody's human, and that includes him. And eventually, the great filmmakers eventually make a dud. It's just a total guess whether this one is it or not. I don't think it will be. I mean, the trailers, they don't paint anything that makes me think that. But then again, neither did Spider-Man 3. That's a hard call. But whatever Ledger added to the Dark Knight hype, I think Nolan mostly makes up for in how much of a well-known filmmaker he is now. And that's a huge reason why I think the opening weekend record is gone. You know, I see it doing, this might be overly bold, but I see it doing 175. And I think it's the first movie in history we can legitimately talk about upwards of a 200 million. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
we've talked about that on the forum. And it's like, it's a question because it's like,
is that even possible?
Yes, it's possible.
It's outrageously difficult, but the capacity I think exists now just because of how many multiplexes are in this country, how many showtimes can be dedicated. Digital projection has really changed the game in terms of how many times a theater can show a movie. And if they really wanted to, a 15 screen theater can show Dark Knight Rises and, you know, 66% of the screens and run it 40 times a day. That's how the number can happen. It's just about, well, the
it's
demand.
It's the demand. Yeah, and the thing is, like, with Dark Knight, there was demand because they were selling out midnight screenings, 1 a.m. screenings, 3 a.m. screenings, 6 a.m. screenings. They were selling out.
Right.
Do I think they'll do it again? They probably will. I really think. And also, the moment the IMAX tickets go on sale, they're gone.
The best thing I think it has going for it is IMAX, because with something like 25% of the movie, I think, thereabouts, actually having IMAX footage, I think we're gonna see Avatar's IMAX gross record go down. I think it pulls in over $100 million from IMAX alone. As far as I know, there's not really much else on the IMAX release schedule after July 20th. I think Warner Brothers has that wrapped up. because they know what to expect. And even if the movie disappoints, people are going to go to IMAX to see that.
I do have a question, actually, Sean. I was talking to the other guys about this, but I wanted your perspective on this, because I'm convinced that at least some of the IMAX theatres for the midnight showing are going to launch an event where they show all three films back-to-back, and then they finally show TDKR at midnight, which I think would be awesome, and I'd love to go to one of those. Do you know if people pay a ticket, which will obviously be a high-priced ticket, to see all three of those, does that full-price ticket count towards TDKR's gross, or would technically only a third of it count?
Good question. It usually depends on the studio, because there's been cases like that before where they do, you know, marathon showings. I think Potter and Twilight did it, and it always seems to change. There's no consistency, and that's one of the big kind of controversies, I guess, so to speak, in as far as tracking box office goes, because there's no real standard for it. So really, I'm just speculating. I would think that they would probably include it, but it really, it's a tough call. If it looked like they weren't going to break the midnight record for some reason, which is possible, I don't think the midnight record is as safe as a bet as the opening weekend record, because Potter, 40 million at midnight, 3D contributed to that a lot, and Dark Knight just not as gonna, it's not gonna have that. And midnights were saturated; they're more easily saturated than, you know, the rest of the day.
Sure,
but I mean, if it looks like, you know, they're gonna make $35-36 million from Dark Knight Rises, I mean, I could easily see somebody at the studio lumping in, you know, the tickets from any kind of marathon run, because that's happened before. I remember Kick-Ass; they had their 10 p.m. showings or something, and they got lumped in with midnight just to make the number look higher. That does happen. So, but I mean, with Dark Knight Rises, does it really need it?
And let's not also forget the second most known Batman villain behind the Joker is Catwoman. And not only is she in this movie, she's played by someone who is a huge recognized actor, Anne Hathaway, who they're holding back for the moment, and I think on purpose. I mean, I don't think it's because her footage isn't good or they're not happy with it. Clearly, they, you know, I think her stuff is fine. But, you know,
it's like the Dark Knight. First trailer was very much about the Joker. Second trailer was about Harvey Dent. It'll be the same thing here.
And the third trailer was a little bit everything, yeah. Thanks. I get the distinct feeling that, like, that big, like, fight in the middle of, like, City Hall is not the big final.
I agree.
And I could be wrong on that. I feel like that's not it. That's not the big final conundrum. I feel like it's going to be something else.
Do you notice, though, Jamie, do you remember how, if you actually remember the trailers for Dark Knight, did they show anything of Act 3? They didn't. They didn't show anything of the finale in the skyscraper. Nothing.
Yeah, I think they did.
I remember people were
trying
to...
None of the stuff with Gordon and his family and Harvey. None of the stuff with the skyscraper. None of the stuff with the
boat.
The boat. I mean, which
I remember the only, well, off the top of my head, the only thing I remember that they showed in the trailer from Act 3, they did show that final shot of him riding away on the Batpod.
True.
That's in the trailer.
Yeah, that is true.
But out of context, I mean, how are you supposed to know what the hell that is?
I think we can all agree, though. I speak for everyone, and we're going to get real for a moment here. I think we all agree. I want to see who is the next Oz actor to appear in Batman. Because we all need to see that guy show up. I'm more interested in seeing what happened to that guy. I bet he's the guy who ends up helping Batman in the end. He kills Bane. He does what Batman should have done 20 minutes ago.
I'm gonna fucking cut your mic off. This is... People can't know this! Oh. So moving on then, August 3rd, another very interesting battle, head-to-head, the remake of Total Recall versus The Bourne Legacy. We'll start with Bourne, though. I will say, and I have said, I believe in the quality of this film. I think we're going to have something good here. I think this is the apes of this year, the film that everyone's underestimating, but it's going to surprise people. Unlike Apes, I just don't think people will give it a chance. We've talked about brand recognition a lot during this show. You can't separate the Bourne branch, brand name from Matt Damon. It doesn't work, and he's not in it, no matter how much people might be conned into thinking he is, and I don't think people are that stupid. It's going to be one of those steady performers during the summer, I think, but most people won't see it till DVD, and then the studio will decide whether they're going to do another one. I'm going to say 140 domestic for this one. That's okay! As long as they didn't spend a fortune on it. And I honestly don't know what the budget was on that. I know, I'm being generous again, but that's the kind of guy I am.
I tried to find an example of a film where the lead character was replaced in the sequel. I mean, you've had issues like this, like when they would switch Batmans, when they'd switch Bonds or things like that, but to take the lead character completely out of the film and replace him with somebody else running around in there. I mean, the only film that I could find to even make this comparison, and please don't laugh at me, but the only one that I could find was the XXX series. That Vin Diesel, don't you dare laugh, that Vin Diesel movie, the first one did 142 domestic, and then for the second one they took him out, replaced him with Ice Cube, and guess how much that one did domestic? $26 million. That's it. I think that people have identified so much with Matt Damon as Jason Bourne that to bring somebody else in and to slap the Bourne name on there is going to piss people off. I think that some people are going to give it a chance. They'll go see it, but this is not going to even come close to what any of the other Bourne movies did. Like the last one, Ultimatum, did 227. I can see this one barely getting over 100 million. I have it at 110. But I think even that might be too generous, because I think that people are going to be so turned off by the prospect of, oh, they've got the Bourne name on the poster, but who's this person? Why isn't Matt Damon in this movie? And I think people are going to stay away. I think I've got 110, but that might even be too high.
I feel like I'm going to be the like highest predictor on here, because like the first Bourne opened the same weekend as Scooby-Doo and actually held its own. It did 125, I think, but that was also a big home video seller. The second one did, I think, a little under 180, and the third one, as you said, Chris, did 227. Huge numbers for the last two, but yeah, that's the problem, though. It's not like Jeremy Renner is replacing Damon's character. If he was playing Jason Bourne, that would still be a tough sell, but it would be easier than this retarded idea of saying, let's do a movie that has Jason Bourne's name in it, but we're not going to put him in the movie. It's stupid. It speaks to how bad things are doing at Universal. It also speaks about how afraid of Matt Damon they are, because they clearly want him to eventually coax him back into playing that character again. Clearly, they're waiting for him. It's stupid, though. I have it at 140. I'm willing to say that it'll make money. It will do well. But yeah, I mean, that trailer has, I mean, the trailer looks fine, but it's not like, oh my god, it looks amazing. No, I'm not gonna say that. It'll make $100 million, but it's going to piss... There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be pissed off by this movie. I mean, we could, in all seriousness, no matter how good the movie is, we could be in for another Hulk, where the movie has a really good opening weekend and just plummets because of awful word of mouth. That comes down to a simple, why did you tell me that you're promising Jason Bourne and he's nowhere in the movie? You would not do a Superman movie where Superman never showed up and you put Bizarro in it. You'd never do that because it'd be stupid. It's the same thing here.
I think I pretty much see it dropping. I don't think it's going to match the first one's, which was 122 million.
Yeah.
8, 9 years ago. I can't even remember. But it's the lack of Damon. It's going to backfire so bad. But I think it'll still open pretty well, just on the sheer fact that Renner is kind of getting, his star is getting out there. Ghost Protocol did a lot for him. I don't know. This is one of the hardest ones of the summer for me. I think the budget is... I read online it's about $90 million. That's not confirmed by Universal or anything. So that's pretty
respectable in terms of, yeah. So it really doesn't need to make a whole lot. And I think they knew that going in, losing Damon was going to result in a huge loss. That in itself speaks volumes about what Universal is really thinking is going to come out of this movie. I think one of the good comparisons actually might be the X-Men series, because it's the Hugh Jackman factor again. Everybody expected to see him in every X-Men movie, and then First Class, he's not there. And for a number of reasons, that being a big one, it just drops. And I think that's pretty much what's going to happen. The first three Bourne movies were only the second franchise to ever make more than the, as far as trilogy goes, to ever make more than the previous one. The first one was Lord of the Rings. But it's just going to be pretty much a reboot in terms of what it can do business-wise. I have it doing 120, and that might even be overdoing it. It could struggle to hit 100, but I'm kind of banking on it still being a decent movie. And Renner can carry a movie. He just has a lot to live up to, and that's going to backfire with a lot of the audience. So, yeah, I'm going to say 120, and it's the X-Men Hugh Jackman factor again.
I'm guessing. I'm just going to say I believe in this one. Actually, I can't think of a movie I've said I don't believe in. I'm far too optimistic. Well, let's move on, actually, to something I don't believe in. Total Recall. I honestly think Total Recall, though it will be the inferior film, it is going to open at number one that weekend. It's a safer bet. I'm going to say for this one, 150 domestic, overall, 300 million worldwide. It's just one of those. It's Len Wiseman. I don't believe this will be worth a damn. It might be watchable, but it's such folly, no matter how much you change the story, to replace a visualist like Paul Verhoeven, who gives you things you've never seen before and never seen again, with a shooter like Wiseman. The trailer looks exactly like I expected. It's the future of Minority Report. It all takes place on Earth, so we don't even get to go to a colonized Mars in this. Don't get taken to somewhere that we don't often get to go. And Kate Beckinsale's secondary villain, Laurie, the Sharon Stone part in the original, will most likely get more screen time than Bryan Cranston's main villain, Cohagen. Fuck that! I bet this film will have no satisfying ending because it will blatantly want to set up a sequel. I don't think it will have a single memorable action scene, a single memorable line of dialogue, or even a memorable single shot. And I'll forget about it a week after I've seen it, which is ironic considering the subject matter of the film. So I'm just going to say 150 for that one, but fuck it.
This one was tough because the trailer didn't really do all that much for me, but it wasn't a terrible trailer. I could see people watching that trailer being interested. At the same time, I could see people watching that trailer and saying, this looks just like Minority Report. Oh, look, there's that guy, and he was in Minority Report. I don't think Colin Farrell is much of a draw. It would be another story of, like, Tom Cruise was in this movie. I could see people going to see this if it was Cruise in it, but Farrell's not much of a draw. The title doesn't have the sort of name recognition that something like, say, if they were remaking Jaws, if they were remaking Terminator or something, that would immediately get people talking. Oh, man, this was tough. Because I could see people going to see this and maybe liking it and having a decent time. Or I could see like a Prince of Persia situation happening where people go and see it opening weekend and then it just completely falls off. I think the studio is going to try and save face and leave it in the theater to try and limp it to 100. I'm not entirely certain that it can get there. Right now, I'm going to say 96 million domestic. I really don't. I don't see this being a huge hit. I don't. But if you guys talk and convince me, I might issue a retraction. But right now, I'm going to say 96.
I actually would disagree only slightly. I think it's obvious that right now, Sony and Lionsgate are not Sony and Lionsgate, Sony and Universal are playing chicken. One of those movies is going to move by a week or two. It's Ooh. Obvious they're going to. You don't think so?
No, it's too late.
No, not at all. I disagree completely. You can move it down by about 2 weeks and still be fine. I think they're we're gonna get something moved because they're both going for young men mostly, and it's like that's you rarely see that. All you're doing is hurting each other by doing such a move. I don't know. I mean, I this kind of draws a similar reaction to The Amazing Spider-Man, though. Like you tell people that, okay, well, hey, guess what? We're redoing Total Recall, and a lot of people are gonna go, really? Like that's the reaction I get. I get a lot of. I just get the vibe from people. It's like, really, you're remaking Total Recall? Yeah, it's been 22 years since it. It's not that it's a terrible idea to remake it. It's like Spider-Man again. It's like it's not that it's bad to redo it. It's just the decisions you've made are bad. Like, the short story is about Mars, so when you're going to remake it, what are you going to do? Eh, we're not going to go to Mars. It's set on Earth. Well, then what's the point? That's the whole crux. The story is Mars. And yeah, you're hiring a guy like Colin Farrell who doesn't really put asses in seats. Even back during his press heyday, he never put asses in seats. He just happened to star in movies that were commercially successful, that were successful despite of him. Coincidentally, let's put it like that. I actually have it at lower. I have it at 70. I think if you're going to ask me right now, Bourne Legacy or Total Recall, Bourne Legacy wins. No questions asked. That wins. Even with Mr. Renner.
I agree. Yeah, it's... I was hoping I'd have the lowest one, but no, I'm thinking 85-ish. It's, and I don't know if you guys have read, but the budget is supposedly over $200 million.
I believe it.
This is going to be one of the biggest bombs of the summer.
It looks like it was over $200 million. And that's the thing, though, about the visual. It looks bland. It's not that it looks good or bad. It's just like, okay, well, it's the future because there's flying cars. Shrug.
And I think if they move... I really think they should just move it out of summer completely. It's not in a good spot. If they are playing chicken with Universal and Bourne Legacy, Universal's going to win that. They have, even without Damon, they have the better odds of a stronger opening. They have arguably a better star, at least on equal terms. And I think there's a lesson to be learned from movies like Terminator, Salvation, and Conan the Barbarian. It's these remakes or sequels of Arnold movies without Arnold just don't work. And maybe eventually there'll be an exception. Could even be Total Recall. I could be way off base. I mean, they put $200 million into it, so they obviously have some kind of faith. But I just don't see it paying off. I mean, it's sandwiched right in between Bourne Legacy and Expendables. And it's just, put it in September, I could maybe see it doing a little better. But right now I'm seeing 80, 85 tops.
Yeah, I said 96 originally because I felt like the studio was going to try and save face and just leave it in there to try and limp it to 100 just so they could at least say, oh, we've got 100. But thinking about this thing going up against Bourne and then you've got Expendables next week, I just, no. And Jamie was right when he said Fifth Element because that was the first thing I thought when I saw those cars flying around the road. Like, oh, it looks like Fifth Element. Is Mila Jovovich going to jump out of a window with a little Band-Aid dress on?
Yeah, and a diaper. Yeah.
But, yeah, I can see this opening to maybe like around 30-ish, 40-ish, and then just dropping off after that. I'm gonna go with Sean and say 80.
So let's move on then to August 17th and the Expendables 2, the final film we have to talk about tonight. This film better be better than the last one. I am telling you now, it couldn't possibly be worse. Oh no, wait, actually, Simon West, the director of Tomb Raider 1, is making it, a film I despise almost as much as Expendables 1. So it is possible. As Jamie says, though, they have suckered even me into seeing the second. And honestly, I will say this, it's nothing to do with the show. I would see Expendables 2 if I had nothing to do with this podcast. They've suckered me in because they are selling it as the film they should have made the first time out. Now, we have a cast of actual credible action legends like Chuck Norris and Jean-Claude Van Damme. We have Bruce Willis as the villain. We have Arnie in, well, Arnold better be in the film a lot more. He's getting the old and Arnold Schwarzenegger billing on the credits, which makes me think he isn't. But then again, he is back into acting full time now and is even making another film with Stallone. So maybe he is, I certainly hope so. The first film only made $100 million domestically. I am going to say $130 for this one. Better, but not by much.
It's a hardcore male action movie, but it's the last big movie of the summer. And opening last certainly has advantages because it's not going to have much competition in the coming weeks. Yeah, the last one just barely got over $100 million, but I could see this one doing a little bit more than that. Okay, so it's coming off of a movie that was at least well-received by some people. I know Phil just despised it. It's the last one, so it's not going to have much competition. I'm going to say it does $120 million.
Here's the thing, though. You say like it was only like an act, like for a male movie, and though that's true, Phil, what got people to see that movie, young and old, a healthy amount 2 years ago was it was sold on nostalgia. It was for us. It was a bunch of tough guys. We haven't seen a tough guy action movie together for a while, and really for our parents, it was retro. It was let's go see a movie that we used to watch when the kids were little. In the late 80s, in the 80s or early 90s, and it brought a lot of older people in for that reason. And that's what was the genius of the market of selling that movie. Yeah, the church scene, which they actually, you know, most of the Expendables were shot down here in New Orleans, but, and actually that particular scene, the one that basically sold the movie, was in a church in here in New Orleans. But thing is, I don't get the impression people were truly upset. But that was the only scene in the movie with those three guys together. Because I remember that was a real concern we all had. It didn't seem to bother them. And they seemed to like the movie fine. But there are certain movies that no matter if people liked it, even if people did like it fine, it's kind of a one-note movie. We talked about Sacha Baron Cohen. And they try to make a franchise out of it. And you're basically offering more of the same, just bigger bigger. And people kind of shrug their shoulders because they feel like, well, I kind of got everything out that I needed to with the first movie. And that's why I actually think this is going to make less than the first one. I actually have it at $80 million because it just seems like the joke I've heard around is that it's kind of like the Love Boat. You know, like, okay, well, who the hell else is going to show up in this movie from the 80s who didn't show up in the first two? I kind of feel it that way watching this one. I mean, I could be completely dead wrong and it could do 120, 130 and have a huge opening weekend. I just have a feeling that this is going to be a one-off movie and that nobody hated the Expendables. They just kind of like, okay. I'm good with just one. I'm getting a lot of shaking heads at me right now.
it's kind of, it reminds me of Iron Man, to be honest. I mean, there's a lot of differences, but the sequel, just in the way it's being presented, it's, like you said, bigger, more explosions. But really, Iron Man 2 ended up being, compared to what audiences got out of the first one. I think that's what's going to happen here again. I will say that I was really skeptical on this a couple of months ago. And by skeptical, I mean like 50, 60 million. Like a huge drop. I think it's going to do a little better than that. Just because of the cast it brings back together, but it's like returning to the well just one too many times. Now, the thing in its advantage is a movie like Act of Valor right now is having a really good box office run, and it's going to pull over $70 million, and it pretty much caters to the same kind of crowd. So that alone already kind of gets me above the $70 to $80 million mark, but I would be surprised if it outgrossed the first one's $103 million, I think. So I'm sitting more around 85, and I'll say 90 million. I think that's a fair
And that's close enough to say, you know, it was still a big success. It's not a huge drop-off. But it's, I think that audience is limited in how much it can grow, whether it's the last movie of the summer or not. I mean, August has always been hit or miss to begin with. And if something like either Bourne or Total Recall does better than I or any of us here think it will, that's automatically going to cut into the Expendables audience a little bit. And that'll just make matters worse. But it, gosh, I don't know. It is surprisingly a hard one to call, but I think 90 is a pretty logical place for it to land. So I'm gonna stick with that.
Folks, the last thing, of course, most importantly that we do need to let you know, is that if you want to, you can be a part of this too. Basically, the same deal as last year. What you need to do if you want to join in the predictions is leave your predictions in the comments section. We will be back in September with our prediction results show. I will tally up everyone's results here, see who wins, but I will also tally your predictions on the comments section, and at the end of the show, I will announce a web winner. The only thing I need to say is, folks, please make the comments section a bit clearer than last year. I admit, I screwed it up last year, but it's only because it was kind of hard to read, so if it's alright with everybody, just make it very clear, very simple, put the title of the film and the domestic total next to that, okay? And no retractions either, because that means it's impossible for me to read, so just do that for me. Obviously, if enough of you get involved, then we'll have a web winner as well. So the only thing that remains for me to say is, Sean, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and can we count on the pleasure of your company in September?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, thank you guys again. It's been a lot of fun, so yeah, I'll definitely be back.
Thank you for saying yes. It'd be awkward if you said no.
Yeah, I've thought about that. And it's like, no.
I gotta wash my hair, Billy.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. The balcony is closed, and get those predictions ready. We'll see you soon.